Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
As part of its September newsletter, the Swine Health Information Center has released its monthly global and domestic disease monitoring reports. First of all, what are the trends we're seeing domestically, and what's the significance of those trends?
Sure. For the domestic diseases that we monitor, PERS, for PED, Delta coronavirus, all of those are following the expected patterns for summer prevalence of those diseases and the incidence of submissions into the diagnostic labs. There really hasn't been a lot of changes from July to August. They're kind of at a summer low, which is a good thing. They're within the expected parameters for this time of year. And we think that it's good to keep an eye on those, because as we move into the fall season, there's an opportunity for things to change. And that's something that we want to make sure that we monitor to try to help people to predict and prevent infections from those pathogens.
Why do things seem to have stabilized and are falling within anticipated parameters?
You know, one of the things that we do is we look historically back at the levels of submissions and the levels of tests in the major diagnostic labs in the U.S., Iowa State University, University of Minnesota, and South Dakota State University. And we use those historic levels as a way to measure the current level. We use what's historically happened to see if the current levels are within the parameters, within the limits set by what our historical values have been, or maybe they're outside. Right now, they're at their seasonal lows, and that's a good thing. But what we're really concerned about is ways that we may be able to apply on-farm biocontainment, where if a farm breaks with one of these, either PERS, PED, Delta Corona, or even mycoplasma, we're able to keep that pathogen on the farm, in other words, biocontainment, or biosecurity, such that we can keep it off other farms. If we can do that extending into the fall season, we can decrease the seasonal increase that we would usually see, and that will help us go into the fall and winter seasons with a healthier herd, more efficient herd, decreasing our pathogen load.
What should producers be watching moving forward, and what are the recommendations on that front?
Well, I think one of the most important things is producers to be aware of the regional circumstance, the regional conditions for these diseases. For example, one of the things that we're watching in the U.S. are state trends. We see that in August that Missouri was significantly higher in its state trend than what it has been before. It was 3 standard deviations above the expected range for this type of year in Missouri. So there are indications of regional patterns, and I think the communications of producers to producers, being aware of the regional patterns, talking to their veterinarians about those patterns, is going to help them perhaps prevent those infections within their region. It may help them contain those infections should they happen. And in that manner, we may be able to do a better job of broader control, broader prevention of these infections from these agents around North America.
In terms of the global swine disease monitoring report, what stands out and why?
Well, certainly we look at Asia. Every month we're monitoring and looking at China and Southeast Asia for circulation of pathogens. African swine fever continues. Pseudorabies virus is one that's very important, and it is at a high spot right now, especially in China. Classical swine fever continues to move in Asia as well. We're seeing African swine fever being reported at the highest level of 2020 so far in the Ukraine, in Eastern Europe. So we're looking at these trends that are happening, trying to predict then where our biggest risk comes, so we can then perhaps prevent them from getting to North America.
How has the risk changed for North America particularly, and what are the factors there?
Well, certainly everybody is looking at the COVID experience and the international travel experience and saying, well, we must be at lower risk because there's much less international travel. And while that is true, that there's much less international travel, and that might translate into a decreased risk for introduction of pathogens, we know that there are other pathways to get these things into the country. Our Customs and Border Protection in the U.S. recently interdicted on about 20 tons of meat products that were illegally smuggled into California. So there's a lot of activity other than just international travel that can include our processes for risk, and we're making sure that we're looking at all of those to try to help us understand better and be better prepared to prevent introduction of these diseases.
And is there anything you would like to add?
You know, one of the things that I want to highlight for folks is our international disease report is that we've added a new section that is a focus on section. In part one of this new section, we look more at the in-depth at ASF, foot and mouth disease, classical swine fever in Asia and in China. And I'm really looking forward to this section being something that will give us more in-depth information about particular diseases. Next month, we'll be looking at production diseases in China. We'll be looking at pseudorabies. We'll be looking at PERS and other things that are production diseases in China for a more in-depth look. So I think that's something that people may be interested in, that while we look globally at disease situations and disease status, and that helps us to predict and prevent, we also are offering more information about specific diseases in specific areas. And this focus on will move from Asia and China, for example, to Eastern Europe, to Brazil. We'll look at different diseases around the world and give some more specific information so people are better informed and they're better able to make decisions about how to predict and how to prevent these from getting to the U.S.
Thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.